Welcome everyone back to the Sports Podcast. I'm your host for today, Justin Roman. And guys, I hope you guys are having a fun night now. It's not sunny anymore. Hey guys, talk about the Giants. Guys, Ryan Finelli today reported that the Giants should make a significant stride going into year two. Look, so finishing the 2020 season with a 6-10 record. So they're close. The Giants are, don't get me wrong, the Giants are closer to the top than they are to the bottom at the moment. Many see this team wallowing or even falling back down to that bottom, you know, into 2021. But when you actually look at this team from 1,000 feet up, they can actually turn the corner this season and get back to the playoffs. First off, they will have the benefit of a full training camp, something they did not have in 2020 because of the coronavirus. Teams with a first-year head coach are normally given the benefit of a jump start, you know, to their mini and training camps to give the organization a chance to acclimate. The Giants, they'll get that in 2021, no doubt. They should get most of their 12th-ranked defense back. It's unlikely they'll sign both defensive linemen Leonard Williams and Dalvin Tomlinson this offseason, but they may not need to. Patrick Graham is back, and the system appears to be a success. It's on offense where the Giants need to beef it up. That plan is already in play as we speak. Obviously, the Giants, they're going to be getting Saquon Barkley back after missing the final 15 and a half games of the torn ACL. Obviously, Barkley gives the Giants an extra dimension in both the running and passing games. Barkley keeps linebackers at bay, especially in the passing game, which means less pressure on Daniel Jones. Jones was sacked 45 times in 2020, which was fourth most in the league. The offense will add at least one, if not two, game-changing players on offense. One suggestion in free agency is Detroit Lions wide receiver Kenny Galladay, or either as Pittsburgh Steelers Juju Smith-Schuster, or other Detroit Lions wide receiver Marvin Jones Jr., or Allen Robinson from the Bears. Who knows? The Giants will add one of those receivers to their organization. And one of those receivers will be Daniel Jones, supposed to be number one target. In the draft, obviously the Giants have the 11th overall pick. They might be able to add another big name in Florida tight end Kyle Pitts, or one of Alabama's prize receivers in Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle. Any one of those players combined with Galladay, Barkley, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, and Darius Slayton would give Daniel Jones an impressive arsenal of weapons to work with. They will certainly score. They will definitely score more than 17 and a half points per game, which they averaged in 2020, and that will lead to more wins. Six of the Giants' 10 losses were by 10 points or less. Win half of these games, and you're looking at, I can see, at a 9-7 win season. This will all occur behind an offensive line that had little time to gel last summer. Nate Solder opting out. The Giants forced, they threw Andrew Thomas to the Lions, where he failed miserably for most of the season. Thomas did pick his game up, though, later in the season, so there's hope he can still deliver. The Giants will have a new coach along the offensive line who will be charged with making something out of a group led by veteran right guard Kevin Zeitler. Let's not forget that two other 2020 rookies, Shanley Mew and Matt Peart, will have a year under their belt, and so will Dink Gates, who took on the challenge of playing center last year with no experience at the position and little time to train. So, for Giants fans wondering which direction this team is heading, the answer is up. this franchise is headed into the right direction. Joe Judge wants to fix this franchise, and I think he will next season. The Giants will be a good team next season. The Giants will be into the playoffs. And look, there will be more consistency and a semblance of order in Joe Judge's second season. The days of losing could be coming to an end sooner rather than later. We'll find out. So give me your thoughts on that, guys. And guys, another thing I want to talk about is Mel Kiper. He was talking about Daniel Jones today. And Mel Kiper today, quote unquote, Daniel Jones is better than every other quarterback in this draft besides Trevor Lawrence. Look, I'm shocked. Mel Kiper, he's the biggest mock drafter in the entire world, you know, and he knows he's a smart guy. He said Daniel Jones is better than Justin Fields, Trey Lance, you know, he's saying that he's better than Zach Wilson. Well, I'm shocked. And look at Daniel Jones, he can play, you know. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna say Daniel Jones is better than every other quarterback except Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. And I like Daniel Jones a lot. Did it flush? I think Daniel Jones, he is a better quarterback, you know, than Zach Wilson. I think he moves a little bit better than Zach Wilson and Trey Lance. But here's my thought. Anyways, here's my thought about what Mel Kiper said about Daniel Jones being better than every other quarterback in this year's draft except Trevor Lawrence. In his two years with the Giants, Daniel Jones has faced his fair share of criticism because he did not show measurable signs of improvement from year one to year two. Daniel Jones' talent and ability to lead New York to a winning season have been called into question. Mel Kiper, however, thinks that skepticism towards Jones is unwarranted. On ESPN's Breaking Big Blue podcast, Mel Kiper discussed how Jones compares to the offer to the other quarterbacks in the 2021 draft. Trevor Lawrence is, of course, the presumed number one overall pick. BYU's Zach Wilson and Ohio State's Justin Fields are also projected to go in the top 10. The Giants have the number 11th overall pick. You know, Mel Kiper clearly said, he said this, quote unquote, I think Daniel Jones is a better quarterback in this draft than everybody except Trevor Lawrence. Zach Wilson would be the closest to him and then Justin Fields. But I would say that Daniel Jones in this draft would be the second quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence coming out of Duke, and he would have been the second highest rated quarterback. This analyst might come as a surprise to Giants fans who are disappointed in the lack of improvement in Jones from year one to year two. But Kiper has an explanation for that. Kiper clearly, he said, I don't know what else he could have done. If you're looking for a guy to be perfect without the offensive line, without Saquon Barkley, without receivers, without tight ends catching the ball on a consistent basis, dropping balls that would have sealed a game against Philadelphia, a critical drop in other games. I don't know what else he could have done. And I don't know what else you can say to say this justifies where he was taken. You can't have everything perfect if you don't have perfect things going on around you. And there was nothing perfect about what was going on around Daniel Jones. I get the criticism, but it's unfair because they are rookies and second-year quarterbacks without great talent around them. My thought on that, look, Kiper said, my thought on that, fans want to see the kind of improvement, you know, in Jones, obviously, that we all have witnessed in Josh Allen, he's made noticeable strides in each year he has spent in the league. But Kiper said that expectations for starting quarterbacks in the NFL have risen so high in recent years that young players are not given time to develop. You know, Kiper also said this, They don't want to be patient with players anymore. But the talk now is not realistic. The way we evaluate players, we're kicking them to the curb after year one, year two, year three. We have to allow players to work through their growing pains, and we don't seem to like to do that. So here's my thought on all this. In Daniel Jones' rookie season, Daniel Jones was 284 of 459 for 3,000 yards with 24 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. During his second season, Jones, he didn't show significant improvement. He was 280 of 488 for 2,000 yards, 11 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions. Kiper emphasized that numbers do not tell the full story. You know, Kiper is also saying this. If you just go by the numbers, you're being lazy and you're being stupid. Analytics are a great tool, but to say the numbers always speak for themselves just isn't the way it is. There's always reason beyond the numbers, reasons behind the numbers. In terms of Daniel Jones, I just think he deserves the benefit of the doubt. So look at, obviously ball security has been a consistent issue for Jones, who he recorded 18 fumbles in his rookie season and 11 more in for this season. But Kiper does not think these turnovers are a big cause for concern. He was saying, if all you can knock a kid on is ball security, then that's pretty good. You know, so look, for these reasons, Kiper does not think Jones should be cast aside just yet. And I'm going to agree with him, you know? Let's get Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley for the full year healthy. Let's get this kid an offensive line that's in sync and cohesive. Let's get this kid Evan Engram catching balls on a regular basis. Let's get all of those receivers all out there at the same time together. And then let's see what Daniel Jones does in year three. This is the year, you know, from my own perspective and from my own opinion, this is the year where I think he can answer all of the skeptics and doubters. Daniel Jones, he's going to try to do what Josh Allen did and shut up the skeptics and doubters once and for all. You know, you got to remember, evidence suggests that this kid can be a really good quarterback in this league, certainly as good as Eli, and Eli won 2 Super Bowls. And this is what people don't understand. Daniel Jones, well, Mel Kiper, everything he said, it makes total sense. Everything that he said in the quote about Daniel Jones not having Saquon Barkley, about Daniel Jones not having true number one receivers, Evan Engram dropping the balls. That's what Evan Engram, he needs to go. You know, he's been. That play against the Eagles in Philadelphia, Evan Engram dropped that. That was not Daniel Jones' fault. That was Evan Engram's fault because he dropped it. Daniel Jones threw a perfect pass, and Evan Engram dropped it. If that was George Kittle, if that was Travis Kelce, if that was Shannon Sharp, if that was Dawson Knox, the Giants won that game. But everything that Mel Kiper is saying, what he is saying, those are reasons why Daniel Jones hasn't been improving. But now that we have a young offensive line, I think Rob Sale is going to do an impressive job, an Alabama native, and I think our offense is going to be pretty impressive because Joe Judge, he's trying to bring guys from Alabama, and Alabama is a great college. They just won a national championship, beat the bricks out of my Buckeyes. So, just hold up. Give the kid a chance. Because I think Daniel Jones, he's going to do... What did I been saying for the past few months? The reason why Daniel Jones... And I said this. The reason why Daniel Jones has not been good enough for fans to realize that he is a great quarterback is because he doesn't have the pieces. If you get him, Allen Robinson... If you get him Juju Smith-Schuster, if you get him Marvin Jones Jr., if you get him Chris Godwin, Daniel Jones, he's going to end up like Josh Allen. Look what adding Stephon Diggs did for Josh Allen this year. Josh Allen, he broke records. Josh Allen was in the MVP conversation because Sean McDermott went out and got him his true number one receiver. So, in 2021 and 2022, the year of years of criticism, the years of doubt, of doubting Daniel Jones, that's going to be over with. Daniel Jones is going to shine bright. And it's going to be one hell of a story. And guys, one last thing. Before I get to the Cowboys and the Eagles. J.J. Watt. Obviously, you guys have heard J.J. Watt has been released by the Houston Texans. If you guys go on Instagram, J.J. Watt, he went on live. He went on IG live and he thanked everyone, his trainers, the fans, his the coaches, the owner, for giving him the opportunity to do what he loves most, and that's playing football. The reason why I want to talk about J.J. Watt is seeing... Do you guys think J.J. Watt can... Do you think he makes sense for the Giants? I think he does. But the Giants don't... former Texan stars. You know? And here's why. In the aftermath of J.J. Watt being granted his release by the Texans Friday, several teams will understandably be interested in the future Hall of Fame defensive lineman. And for a lot of reasons, the New York Giants should be among them. Dave Gettleman has made no secret of his steadfast belief that championships are won on the back of dominant play along both lines of scrimmage. Admittedly, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just reinforced that philosophy in Super Bowl 55 Sunday evening against the Chiefs. J.J. Watt's best days are behind him. You know, he's 31 years old, besieged by injuries in recent years, but he remains, in my eyes, a productive player. Last season, Watt produced 5 sacks and 45 pressures and 581 pass rush snaps, while garnering an 85.5 overall grade, according to Pro Football Focus. Clearly, some team is going to be getting a player plenty capable. Clearly, some team is going to be getting a player that's capable of being more than a rotational lineman. Which therein lies the problem for the Giants. And here's why. The Giants will likely put on a full court press to re-sign Leonard Williams, who produced a team-high 11.5 sacks last season. Nothing but impressive. And had every interest in bringing home ground Dalvin Tomlinson back alongside him. But they might not have the means, entering the offseason with only just $1.26 million in cap space, according to Over the Cap. J.J. Watt's production in 2020 and his leadership qualities will likely draw the attention from teams like the Steelers, offering a chance to play alongside his younger brothers, the Green Bay Packers, perhaps even the Miami Dolphins and Indianapolis Colts. A strong market, and teams such as the Dolphins and the Colts being flush with cap space to spend would likely make it difficult for the Giants to compete for Watt's services. Likewise, Watt will presumably be seeking to sign with a team that gives him a chance to compete for a Super Bowl in 2021, and the Giants roster simply isn't ready to make that leap. While Watt might be a legitimate insurance policy for the Giants possibly losing Williams or Tomlinson in free agency, the draw doesn't seem to be there for the former face of the Texans franchise to make this unit a union fit. So, hey, but like I said, but hey, anything's possible in today's age. So, yeah. Okay, guys, let's talk about the Dallas Cow trash. whatever you can say. So, guys, there's a report by Tom Ryle that the Cowboys may have a defensive speed problem on the roster. Oh, my God. This is so funny. So, guys, after watching all the speed on display, the Super Bowl, the Cowboys may need to rethink the composition of their roster, especially on defense. Speed, speed, speed. It doesn't take long to see the speed and athleticism from each team in Super Bowl 55. The Chiefs' high-powered offense features an Olympic-like 4x100 meter relay team on the perimeter, with their wide receivers and tight ends blazing the turf with their speed and explosiveness. On the other side of the field, the Buccaneers were able to neutralize the Chiefs' electric offense with a lightning-quick defense sparked by a pair of linebackers chasing ball carriers and pass catchers from sideline to sideline. So after watching Super Bowl 55, the Cowboys must compare the overall speed of the playmakers and defenders on their roster with the speedsters who took the stage on Sunday. The defense in particular needs more explosive athletes on the second and third level. The Cowboys must have enough speedsters on the field to neutralize some of the explosive offenses that are lighting up scoreboards around the league. Dan Quinn wants to prioritize effort and energy from his players while utilizing a simple scheme. He needs some athletes at his disposal to make his X's and O's come to life. If the Cowboys want to close the gap on the title contenders, this roster needs an infusion of explosive athletic defenders this offseason. If not, the Cowboys are just going to suck, which they have been for the past few years, which I have been enjoying for my entire life. So, Dak Prescott. This is it. I've been saying this too long, and I'm not going to say it anymore. I'm just saying it. This is just a little warning that Dak Prescott's leaving because the Cowboys are rebuilding. And if Dak Prescott goes into the 2021 season, he will end up hurt and he will waste another year on a franchise tag deal. I don't see this team even touching a long-term deal. Everyone had the Cowboys and Dak Prescott agreeing a four-year deal worth somewhere $43 million. No. Stop it. Dak is not going to play at the Cowboys. This is the last time I'm saying it. I don't know how many times I have to say it to get these words in the skull of Cowboys fans. Because Cowboys fans, they want to accept the fact that, we're in the trash division and we're going to go to the Super Bowl because we got a Super Bowl winning head coach who's coached Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. No, Dak Prescott's not Aaron Rodgers, first of all. The Dallas Cowboys suck. The Packers don't. And yeah.
Where was the remote at?
I don't know.
Can you go
upstairs?
Because I
want to
watch
some TV. So I don't have anything else to say, but good luck, Cowboys, for sucking again. The Dallas Cowboys are not going to, they're not signing Dak Prescott. This team has so many, way too many other issues on to fix. They're not signing Dak. That's all I have to say. I have no words to say but that. Dak Prescott is not playing with the Dallas Cowboys next season. Point blank period, Dak's leaving, thank God. So guys, pretty sure you guys heard that Nick Sirianni, he announced his coaching staff for this season. Hey, I have nothing but luck for this guy. Don't know him, but I wish him luck. Obviously, this guy wants to help a team that's trash and vulnerable for talent. Philadelphia, they're a good football team, you know, and they just... they don't have a good GM. And Howie Roseman, as long as this guy is with this football team, the Philadelphia Eagles will never win. Because they always make stupid decisions. Everyone has this team going after my guy, Ja'Marr Chase from LSU. Watch them waste his talent. Ja'Marr Chase is a great receiver. I've said in my post-mock draft, this kid reminds me of Calvin Benjamin. When Calvin Benjamin was a rookie with the Panthers, Calvin Benjamin was a stud, you know? I don't even know if he plays anymore. But I hope that I'm just hoping that this guy can fix this football team. Other fans, analytics, they're laughing at the Eagles, saying that this is the same staff ever since, even when Doug Peterson got fired. You know, I don't want to believe it, but it's hard. The Eagles are just gonna go back to from being trash to being even more trash because they're gonna be rebuilding again. So guys, the reason why I want to talk about the Eagles is because Les Bowen, who is the who writes the Philadelphia newspaper, he was asking a really common question: why is it taking so long for the Eagles to trade Carson Wentz? You know why? Because Nick Sirianni wants to keep him. You know that's why. Why is Wentz still not traded? In conversations with a number of league sources, obvious and not so obvious reasons emerged. Before we deliver into all that, let me establish two important points. Number one, Carson Wentz almost certainly is still getting traded. There are no reports of any sorts of recommend between the quarterback and the organization, even if some of us continue to believe that might be the assertive past forward for both the team and Wentz. NBC Sports reported that a group of young Eagles receivers is planning to meet with Jalen Hurts soon to work on route timing. We're just too far down the road now. Maybe you can just change your mind on trading a kicker or something. But once you've made it clear that the face of your franchise is on the block, he has to go. And number two, this can't go on forever. You don't want players reporting for spring work in a few months with Wentz and the leadership of the offense still flapping in the breeze. As one player noted, according to the Phone Friday, you always wonder who's going to be the leader for the year. You know, so look at it. Probably can't go on past March 19th when the Eagles owe Wentz a $10 million roster bonus that will increase the $33.8 million to 2021 dead cap charge for trading him to $43.8 million. The first figure would be more dead cap money than ever incurred in the history of the NFL. The second figure would be nearly double the highest dead cap figure ever incurred. Jared Goff, $22.2 million, and that would just be beyond ridiculous. We can be pretty sure Howie Roseman, who takes pride in managing the cap, doesn't want to be thought of as being beyond ridiculous. You know? So, look, due diligence, though. Answer this question. What happens if somehow the Eagles can't trade once by March 19th? And we do venture beyond the bounds of ridiculousness. Well, a post-June 1st trade of Wentz would actually be better for the Eagles' 2021 cap. According to SpotsTrack.com, they're saying the dead cap money this year would be $19 million. But before you yell "Eureka!" and decide that that option makes the most sense, a post-June 1st trade just means the dead cap is spread over 2 years. So instead of being completely out from under Wentz's contract in 2022, as they would be if they traded him now, the Eagles would still be carrying around $24 million of dead Wentz's cash. The two-year total adds up to the potential dead cap figure this year if there's no trade by March 19th. You know? So, back to why this hasn't happened yet. Sources say Howie Roseman looked at the Goff Matthew Stafford trade and thought the third round pick the Lions got this year plus two future first round picks and for quarterback Jared Goff would be a pretty good template for a Wentz trade. But teams know what Stafford is. After 165 games and 282 touchdown passes, they might not agree on exactly where he ranks. But he's in the top dozen or so starters every year. Wentz has been that too. But in far fewer career games. And this year, he was barely among the top three dozen NFL quarterbacks. Howie Roseman's problem might be that teams see Carson Wentz as much more resembling Jared Goff, who was drafted first overall back in 2016, just before the Eagles took Wentz, than Stafford. So look, nobody knows exactly what teams have offered for Wentz. NFL sources believe the only confirmed biggers, like I said for yesterday, are Chicago and Indianapolis. And Wentz is not the only quarterback property on the market. Houston doesn't want to trade Deshaun Watson, but probably will have to accede to Watson's request. Now Russell Wilson seems to be pushing a trade from Seattle. The Jets and former Eagles executives and Joe Douglas are dangling Sam Darnold. Marcus Mariota is in the mix after a year as a Raiders backup. You know, so all I'm saying is this. The danger in waiting is that one or more of the teams willing to deal for Wentz gets involved and talks about one of the other quarterbacks. Now, the question is, what happens if the market suddenly dries up entirely? The 2016 Sam Bradford option, waiting for another team to suddenly need a starter at the last minute, doesn't seem like anything you'd want to hang your hat on. The bottom line is this. League sources doubt Howie Roseman has been offered a first-round pick of any sort for Carson Wentz this year or in the future. The haul from a Wentz trade is the only imagination Roseman can get from the disaster of having to deal away a healthy 28-year-old quarterback he handpicked as the future of the franchise. Saw plays for 3 years, then rewarded with a $128 million contract extension. If Howie Roseman walks away with a mid-round pick this year and a conditional second-round pick or something down the road, he has seriously marred his legacy and probably has deepened the hole the 4-11-1 Eagles have to climb out of in terms of acquiring talent. It's unclear how the Eagles plan to spend the situation post-Wentz. Now the question is it Hurts' team? Will they say that? The NFL Network reported that the Eagles sent an observer to Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence's pro day Friday. Lots of teams were there who were like the Eagles, have no chance of drafting Trevor Lawrence. But the Eagles pick 6 overall. They have to consider the option of taking a quarterback. Even if it isn't Trevor Lawrence, that decision might shape the future of the franchise just as much as the Wentz trade. So there's a lot going on here, even when nothing is going on. So guys, Carson Wentz, he's gonna end up leaving, you know? He's gonna end up leaving, you know? The Cowboys and the Eagles, both of these teams, this division doesn't belong to none of these teams anymore. This division, the NFC least, either belongs to the Giants or the Washington football team. That's all I gotta say. Guys, that's all I have for today. I hope you guys like this video, podcast. Guys, I will be doing another one tomorrow, giving you more live updates on this trash division. And I will see you guys in the next podcast. See ya.